Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God. Caller ID is a telephone feature that many of us have become accustomed to and simply take for granted. Caller ID allows the name and phone number, or name or phone number, of the individual calling to appear on the screen of the person being called. Caller ID has revolutionized and transformed how we receive calls. If we look down at our phone and don't recognize the number displayed on our screen, we typically don't answer the phone. In part one of the Finding Your Way series, the question we asked about caller ID in connection with our relationship to God is, if you were to receive a phone call and look down and the caller ID displayed God, would you wonder what he was calling for, and would you answer? Because caller ID allows us to see who's calling, but not know what they're calling for. To know what the purpose of the call is, we have to answer the call. So the question is, if you were to receive a call and the caller ID displayed God, would you wonder what he was calling for, and would you answer? Call waiting is another telephone feature that many of us have become accustomed to and taken for granted. It was released in the 1970s, and call waiting is a feature that allows an incoming call to come through rather than to receive a busy signal. Call waiting also allows us to place a current call on hold to answer another incoming call. Call waiting is an incredibly beneficial feature when there's a call that we're waiting on that we don't want to miss. In relationship to finding our way, and in relationship to call waiting, and our connection with relationship with God, the question that we ask here is, would you interrupt whatever you had in progress to accept God's call? Now, no matter how connected to or disconnected from God you might describe yourself, my assumption is that most of us are in the middle of this thing that we call life. And for some of us, things are going along very well. It's kind of smooth sailing. For others, we're kind of hoping and wondering if there isn't more to life than what we're currently experiencing. And for some of us, we're fully connected to God and in relationship with God, and things between us and God seem to be in good standing. For others, we're figuring out whether this whole God thing is even a part of my life, or if God even exists, or anything like that is possible as we navigate life and try to find our way in life. So the question again becomes, whatever you're in the middle of, whatever you currently have in progress, if you knew that you were receiving a call from God to help you find your way in life, would you interrupt whatever else you had going on to answer God's call? The early church leader, Paul, wrote a letter to the first century church in Ephesus in which he describes the core elements of God's call on our lives. Let's check out together what Paul writes that helps us find our way in navigating life in relationship with God. Paul starts out this part of this letter to the church of Ephesus, "Therefore," this first word is a very important word because it connects to the context of what's written previously. What is about to be written ties directly to what was previously written. And what was previously written was the core elements of how what we believe about God influences and shapes the decisions and directions of our lives. What Paul writes prior, the reason the therefore is therefore, is because Paul writes about how God isn't something or some being or someone just up there somewhere completely disconnected from our lives. He writes that God is interested in the details and the direction of our lives. That God loves us so much that his son Jesus came to die on a cross to redeem sin and to restore a path to right relationship with God. He loves us in a condition, in a world that has been broken by sin, and seeks to repair that and desire that. That God desires a relationship with humankind. And that's the reason the therefore is there for. But Paul continues, therefore, I, as a prisoner for serving the Lord. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus around 61 AD from a Roman prison. But interestingly, Paul hadn't really violated any laws. The reason he found himself in a prison was because the message of God's grace, the message of the cross, the message that Jesus died on the cross to redeem sin and to provide right relationship with God, and then defeated death in his resurrection, the message that Paul communicated, that was the message he communicated, was an offense to the Jewish and religious leaders of his day. The Jewish and Roman leaders of his day sought to squelch the movement of the Jesus way. They sought to end the message that was so countercultural to their belief system. Paul was an advocate of the way. And so they put Paul in a Roman prison, and he writes this letter from a Roman prison. He says, therefore, I, as a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to live a life worthy of your calling. The word beg, Paul doesn't just encourage people to embrace God's grace. He doesn't just encourage people to allow embracing God's grace and following Jesus to transform their lives. He begs them. He pleads with them. There's a sense of urgency in what Paul is communicating. This isn't just an FYI or a BTW afterthought. This is a centerpiece of how to find your way in life. This is a centerpiece that is worth interrupting anything else in life that we might have going on. This is a centerpiece for how we live life in right relationship with God. This is a centerpiece for how life is better and we are better at life. But there's another word that Paul uses that might cause a little bit of attention for us. He says, I beg you to live a life worthy of your calling. The word worthy may cause a little bit of attention for some of us. After all, we know what we've done. We know what we're in the middle of. And we know that because of what we've done or whatever we're in the middle of, or sometimes even what we think we might do, we don't feel worthy as someone that God would call into a relationship with. We're not worthy now. We have no expectation that we will ever be worthy. But God doesn't call us into relationship with him because we're worthy. God calls us into relationship with him because we aren't worthy. That's the very reason Jesus came. Jesus came not because we were worthy, but Jesus came to make us worthy when we're not. And Paul says, I beg you to live a life worthy of your calling. And he uses this word call. And the original language in which Paul would have written would have been Greek. And the Greek word that Paul uses there is the word kaleo. And it literally means to call. And so the word kaleo is the root word of about 16 other very significant words in the New Testament part of the Bible that connect
to God calling people into relationship with Him and connecting life and finding our way with God's purposes and parameters. It is a significant word because it is a significant thing that is happening when God calls us into relationship with Him. And this is exactly what Paul says. Paul says in the next phrase, the next piece of what he writes, he says, "Therefore, I, as a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to live a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." You have been called by God. No matter where you've been, no matter what you're in the middle of, no matter what interruptions you have experienced, you have been called by God into relationship. Jesus came to earth as a human to call people like you and people like me into relationship with God. We oftentimes get this word called confused. When we think of the word called, we think of something that we need to do, a job, a purpose, a task, or something like that. But oftentimes when we connect calling or limit calling to just something we do, we misunderstand the very idea behind being called into relationship with God. When I was about 15 years old, I felt called into serving God in full-time vocational ministry. On August 25th, 2001, I was called into the role as a husband to my wife. And then I was called into my role as a dad on January 1st, 2005, and May 3rd, 2007. Each of these roles are very specific callings that carry great responsibilities for things that I do. But each of these callings also flows directly from who I am and who I am becoming in relationship with God. God's call on our life transcends a do, because God's call on our life is really more about a who than a do. God's call on my life is focused on who I am becoming, no matter what I'm doing. God's focus, or God's calling on my life, is focused on who I am becoming in relationship with God. And that relationship then influences everything around me, including my relationships with those around me, and including everything I do in relationship with those around me. When we confuse calling with just a do, it is very, very easy to miss the who part of the calling of relationship with God. And so, if we track the biblical narrative, especially the New Testament part of the biblical narrative, along this finding your way about who God wants us to become and where God wants to take us in relationship with Him, in relationship to who I am becoming, one of the primary things that we will discover is that God wants us in relationship with Him to become more like Jesus. And so if the path of right relationship with God is becoming more like Jesus, what does it mean? What does it look like to become more like Jesus? Well, in his letter to the church in Ephesus, Paul gives us three things that serve as an effective starting point. Again, this isn't comprehensive. This isn't all-inclusive. But if we get a handle on these things, they serve as effective starting points for becoming more like Jesus and finding our way in life. Paul says to the church in Ephesus and to people like me and people like you, always be humble. The word humble, we're used to seeing people get humbled rather than be humbled. But the word humility wasn't something in the first century ancient Near East culture that was looked highly upon. In fact, it was looked down upon. It was a society predicated on power and status and powering up over people to get what you want and accomplish what you want. Humility was often considered to be reserved for slaves. And slaves were more humiliated than humble. Slaves were so beaten down and worn down that their value and worth was minimal and limited to whatever value and worth they might be able to muster somehow within themselves. But become like Jesus. Humility is very, very different than that. Become like Jesus. Humility is elevating the value of others while maintaining a value of self. It's placing the needs and wants and desires of others above yourself out of love, out of becoming more like Jesus. So always be humble is the first part of what Paul says, and then he continues, always be humble and gentle. The word gentle has also been translated as meek. And we tend to not think very favorably about the word meek because we associate it with weakness. But the Greek word that is used for gentle, that's translated meek, has nothing to do with weakness. Instead, the word that's used for gentle often was used to refer to as a soothing medicine, or maybe a colt that had been broken, or a soft wind. I love the idea of gentleness serving as a soothing medicine, especially when I think of situations in which our natural inclination or our temptation is to power up over people. And if we were to approach those situations as a gentle, soothing medicine rather than powering up over people, I have to imagine that our life would be better, our relationships would be better, and the people around us would experience a better version of us. Because when we power up over people, we often leave a trail of wounded and damaged relationships and hurting people who eventually want little or nothing to do with people like us who power up over others. Always be humble and gentle. And then Paul goes on, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's fault because of your love. The word patient literally means to be long-tempered or long-suffering. How many of us would say we know someone who is quick-tempered rather than long-tempered? And for those of us who know someone who's long-tempered or quick-tempered, we know that quick-tempered rather than long-tempered can leave a trail of damaged and wounded relationships and hurting people as much as powering up over people. When we approach our relationships with patience, when we approach one another with patience, we allow for each other's faults, in part because we know that we bring faults into the relationship. We know that there are shortcomings we have. We know that there are things that others need to make allowances for in us. But the biggest motivator, the primary factor in patiently making allowance for the faults of others, Paul says, is love. We're motivated to do what we do out of love for one another, out of love for God, and out of love for Jesus, who paid the ultimate sacrifice out of love for us. This is the type of calling that's referred to in what Paul wrote to the first century church in Ephesus. It is a call from God in relationship to Him through what Jesus accomplished for us that we could never accomplish for ourselves. And that then in turn determines the decisions and direction of our lives. There's a lot in this message that creates a great deal of tension for me personally. You see, I tend to be someone who likes to make things happen, to see results, to be able to check things off my checklist. I like to see progress and momentum. And sometimes those things come at the cost of who I am becoming. In my role here at the church, I want to see people discover how to find their way in life by following Jesus. I want to see people's lives transformed by the message of the cross, that God loves them enough to do something about the brokenness and unworthiness of their lives, to make right relationship with Him possible. I want to see the church grow. I want to see people connected to this church in such a way that their lives are transformed by what we do and who we are. In my role as a husband, I want my wife to never regret saying I do because of the things I do. In my role as a dad, I want to see my kids be able to do the things they want to do simply for no other reason than they're what they want to do. And I want to see them make wise decisions and live with fewer regrets. And I want to see them treat others with honor. And I want to see them grow into adults that lead healthy, productive lives, not just in the community, but in relationship with God and relationship with those around them. Those are all good things. But at the end of it all, none of it matters if I'm not becoming who God desires for me to become. None of it matters if I'm not becoming who God has called me into relationship with Him. Paul begged people to live a life worthy of their calling, to navigate, to find their way in life, in relationship with God, in such a way that is humble, patient, and gentle. So the question becomes, how am I doing in those things? How am I doing in the moment-to-moment decisions of being humble, gentle, and patient? My fear is that I'm not doing as well as I should be. My fear is that my wife, who I never want to regret saying I do because of the things I do, and my kids, who I want to be able to say, I've got the greatest dad in the world, my fear is that they would say, in many instances, I'm a train wreck when it comes to being patient and gentle. Becoming like Jesus' gentleness gets rid of rudeness and harshness. becoming like Jesus, patience is long-suffering and not quick-tempered. If your phone were to ring and you were to look down and the caller ID would display God, would you wonder what he was calling for? And would you answer? If you were to receive a call, look down, and the caller ID displayed God, would you be willing to interrupt whatever plans you have for God's plans? Would you be willing to pause whatever you are in the middle of to answer God's call into relationship with him that transforms everything and helps us find our way in life? What if it is as simple as God's call is waiting for you to answer? Let me pray for us as we wrap up this time together. Dear God, thank you for providing a way through which we can find our way in life. Thank you for loving us enough to send Jesus to redeem us from sin and to provide the path to right relationship with you. Thank you for these words penned by the early church leader Paul about your call on our life and how we can become more like Jesus with the starting points of being humble, gentle, and patient. God, for each and every one of us connected to this message today, may we take a step in relationship with you and in relationship to those things. And may we indeed be better at life and make life better for us and for those around us by simply choosing to follow Jesus. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for choosing to connect with the online campus of Hurricane Community Church. Whether this is your first time or your 100th time, we hope it's not your last time. And we hope that this time helped you take a step in relationship with God. And we hope that it helps you take a step towards following Jesus. We hope to see you again next time at Hurricane Community Church. Thanks again for tuning in. And we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.